So welcome to the third episode of Cloud Do You Do podcast that is focused on cloud technologies and its real life benefits. The podcast is delivered to you by Revology.
And I'm Christian Jagiste.
I'm Stefan Kaiser. And here together with us, we have guests Srdjan Tutina and Strahinja Kustodic from a mobile gaming company from Serbia, Nordeus. So hi Srdjan, hi Strahinja. Thank you very much for joining us. Can you please briefly like introduce yourself? Just tell us a bit about your story, your history. Why did you join Nordeus? What did you do before? And yeah, something about you.
Well, I've been in IT for 16 years now. I finished Faculty of Electrical Engineering here in Belgrade. Actually, it was Telecommunication Department, but then went to IT and Computers and Networks right away, and it stayed that way until now. I was working in banking industry for the first 9 years, then thanks to Strahinja's call, I switched to gaming industry.
And what about you, Strahinja?
Yeah, I joined a little bit earlier, like I joined 9 years ago. I'm also from the Faculty of Electrical Engineering. I actually didn't finish the faculty. I still have a few exams, but I don't know. I had them for a few years already. I worked on the faculty before I joined Nordeus. I was there a system administrator there, and I was always passionate about Linux, open source, and things like that. So, you know, when I got an opportunity to join Nordeus to do what I actually loved working on, I joined, and I was the first, like, at that time we called it like, I don't know, system, we didn't call it probably system engineer at that time, but it was like system administrator or whatever, but something like that. So yeah, I was there first doing the system engineering in Nordeus, and now I've been here for 9 years, and I'm leading like currently three teams, like infrastructure team and like analytics teams, two analytics teams.
Wow. If you were there if you are in Nordeus for like 9 years, you were one of the first ones in Nordeus, or?
I wasn't here the first year because I was actually like our CEO, he called me like the first year when they established Nordeus, but I just met my girlfriend who happens to be his sister. We were supposed to go on a holiday or whatever, and Branko, our CEO, called me like one day before that, and I said, okay, I'll call you when I come back from the holidays. Then after the holidays, I called him. I said, oh, look, I just met my girlfriend. I don't want to work currently in a full time job like on the faculty. It was a lot easier, and that's how it started. So yeah, I wasn't serious. Here. No, actually, yeah, that's what happened. And Branko told me that he's going to call me later. Like, he's going to call me in a year from now. And he actually called me exactly a year from now. And when he called me, I said, okay, let's see this, let's see what it is. And that's how I joined Nordeus. So I was like 20 something.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
And do you guys you're working in a Nordeus like a gaming company? Do you also play computer games or games, mobile games yourself?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We actually play Nordeus like on each Monday. We started playing again. We play CS:GO, Counter-Strike GO. We play it like during the workday, like from after lunch, like from 2 to 3 p.m. And it's like, I think last time it was like 8-on-8 or something, like 16 hours. So it's pretty cool. We did that a few years ago regularly, but now we said, okay, let's do it during the work time because it's really good for like, stress release.
So. Sounds really fun, guys.
Cool. Yeah, that's really cool. I played top 11 for, this is not like a commercial for Nordeus, but I played top 11 for like 7 years now. And I love it more than ever. It's like, if you like football management, it's a great game, really.
Yeah, I actually was never a fan of football manager games. I never liked them. I was always either like a FPS or like strategy games, RTS games. Those are like Command and Conquer games are my favorite. And when I joined Nordeus, I was like, okay, let's try to play. I mean, it's you know, it's our. I actually didn't have to play it because I wasn't breaking very closely to top 11. But yes, I want to play it, and I tried it, and like I started loving it. Like it's an insane game for like, you know, even if you are not a Football Manager fan. I actually probably would never try it if I was not working in Nordeus, but I actually still play it, and I have one of the highest levels in Nordeus, something like that. But Sergio will probably reach me because I'm not that active as he is.
I'm 65 levels old.
If you also like real football, if you're playing or watching football, or if it's just like a Football Manager for you.
For me, I watch Premier League a lot. That's mostly like Premier League and like Champions League. I don't watch other leagues. I don't know. I only like Premier League. I don't know why. It's like
me too. And it was Champions League's finals the other day.
Yeah,
we were chatting
about that. Yeah. So we basically watch Premier League and Champions League, and that's maybe okay, like Europa League, some finals or whatever. But those are the I don't watch our domestic competitions, nor like Spain, Italy, maybe sometimes Spain, like Real Madrid, Barcelona, or something like that, or Atletico Madrid. But usually Premier League, that's like that's the football I love.
Premier League is like NBA. So
yeah, for me, Premier League, yeah.
Fun.
Cool. So, Sudan, you used to work in a bank, as you mentioned before, as well. So, and now you switched to totally a different industry, so gaming. So, can you tell me and all the listeners, how different are those two environments for you? Like, if you talk about IT, and is there any similarities in those industries, etc.?
Well, they are similar, but again, totally different. In banking or some financial industries, as you may know, everything is strict and regulated, and you don't have this kind of creativity from your end users. So in those industries, you're not proactive and business related as you can be in this, let's say, lightweight ITs. But basically, it's a whole new world for me. And managing 170 or 180 users, having new ideas every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And according to you, like, what is the most difficult in the gaming industry when it comes to system administration?
What happened in the last 7 years is that IT, as we knew it, it's the past. IT, I like to see IT as a business partner or tech partner. So a challenge to have in the world of shadow IT. So basically, my daughter is using iPad from when she was 1 year old. So IT is coming from everyone in company. Everyone is trying to solve their problems in their own way and basically have overall look on what's going on and then present your users with a solution that will work for them is the most challenging, because if they don't get what they have at home, they'll basically go and create a Viber group or WhatsApp group and then chat there. So you need to provide them with at least that kind of UX to have them in your ecosystem. That's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. You said that you are in Nordeus for like 7 years? Or
yep.
So how it was like these 7 years ago? Was it like totally different, or was it similar? Or, you know, because if I'm thinking about gaming company, I'm thinking about like very digital company, you know, very like modern company. But 7 years, it's quite a long time. So I would be interested if like 7 years ago, it was also like a bit like legacy, let's say, compared to now, or if it was already quite like modern and really digital.
Well, Nordeus is a digital workplace from the beginning. So it was digital, but it was more on premise than it was now. So along the way, cloud was happening. So more and more services were migrated basically from on premise infrastructure to cloud. That definitely changed. Again, I'm not sure, but we had a lot less services 7 years ago than we have now. Or let's say our application toolbox was smaller than it's now. It's now like
hundreds of applications being used every day. So the challenge right now is how to optimize our digital toolbox. So basically, we grew in that digital workspace, so it's now a bit noisy. So we need to streamline it.
The mentality stayed the same, basically. Our users always have all the power they want. They can mostly do what they want with their PCs, with their workstations, whatever, how they want to call them. And like we stayed that way the same even now.
It's totally different approach. I accepted it and then continued with it. So everyone in Nordeus is free to install whatever they want on their computer. So security-wise, it's like how to keep people creative while keep the environment secure. So it's totally different banking or financial. You go there and you are disabling people's services like YouTube's, Facebook's and stuff. Mm-hmm. No, I want you to go to Facebook, YouTube every day. Maybe you find something there creative or try a new app. So that's the approach we are nurturing here. And then work on security awareness with our users. So that's the security part.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Like before, as you just told us, so you used like on-premise tech stack. So, and then you moved to using G Suite also, like one of the solutions for your problems there. And can you tell us how was the transition from the previous solution to G Suite? How did it went and were there any challenges on that?
Well, I think Nordeus is using G Suite for the very beginning. From the very beginning when I came to Nordeus, it was already on G Suite for the office. Before that, I was working with Microsoft and on-premise solution. I never did migration from on-premise to Google Cloud or to any cloud solution.
But what we did, I mean, when I joined, we were on G Suite, and way before we were also on G Suite. But when Serkey came, he brought things from the bank, like the Active Directory, which also managed to organize us a lot internally. And a lot of internal services still use the login from Active Directory, basically LDAP and things like that. But we are slowly moving away from that. And the idea is, as you told me a few days ago, that we will just remove Active Directory totally with the G Suite login for everything and whatever they provide.
Authentication-wise, everything is interconnected. So basically, user from Nordeus has only one single username and password for everything. So Active Directory is connected to G Suite by the services provided by Google. So what user knows is single username and single password for all the services in Nordeus. The cloud transition will happen during the next year, full cloud transition, I guess. And the plan is to eventually kill Active Directory.
And is the plan also eventually kill Microsoft? Or
it depends on G Suite development. So basically, for some of our users, we use Microsoft 365 because they need to have Microsoft Office because they collaborate with external partners that use Docs. But what I saw recently is that G Suite is making some good moves around that, like option to edit your Microsoft Word document directly from Gmail. And additionally, you can manage your Windows 10 devices now directly from G Suite. You can log in to Windows 10 using G Suite. So it's the right direction. What I saw from G Suite this year and Q4 2019 is focus. They are like going in the right direction, definitely.
It is the direction we think it's right.
Yeah.
Oh, Corona
definitely helped for Google Meet to catch up with Zoom. So this is why we are meeting today on Google Meet, not on Zoom. But they have a lot more work to do regarding chat and their Slack competition. But having our toolset streamlined around G Suite is an idea we are working on. And there are some great expectations from G Suite from our side in the next year or so. We would like to see Zoom being killed in Nordeus in favor of Google Meet, and then eventually Slack being killed. The idea is to focus and align in this remote work mode, but how we will do that? Basically, we need to have a single ecosystem that will enable us to do so. Microsoft was better in that before, but I guess G Suite is doing it right now.
Well, thank you very much. Now, I have like a few questions connected more to like infrastructure. I wanted to ask, like, what is your, like, general relationship to the, like, cloud technologies? Because I know that you started on, like, open source cloud platform, Open Nebula, I think. Mm-hmm. Managed by Ansible. And a few years ago, or some time ago, you decided to migrate to GCP. Could you just quickly tell us something about this decision to migrate to public cloud?
We were never, from the start, we weren't on cloud, on any cloud. That's because Top 11 is a very specific backend application. Let's call it like that. It has a lot of computation, and it also needs it needed databases with SSDs, even in 2010, which wasn't that, you know, available all over the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think at that time there wasn't, Amazon existed, but I don't think they had SSDs on their, in their VMs or anywhere. And even if they did, it would cost like a fortune. Well, we had no other option. We basically rented dedicated servers. And it was like that for a lot of years, basically. Then we realized, okay, we need to set hypervisors, use VMs, and like use our resources a little bit better. Because I still remember that, because you know, when you're on dedicated servers, you basically are always over provisioned, because you know you have to support the workload, maximum workload, even though you're not gonna have the maximum workload all the time. So I remember at one point I did a calculation, and our average CPU workload was like 5% over all our clusters. And we had like, at that time, I think we had like 400 dedicated hosts, which were not small machines, which were like 32 CPUs and things like that. And like a lot of 100 gigabytes of RAM, not all of them, but a lot of them were like that. So mm-hmm. basically, so we decided, okay, let's go to VMs. And because at that time when we decided, that was probably like 2015, 16, I'm not sure, to be honest.
Come on, man, we were using virtualization in local infrastructure
before that. In local, yes. But in games, not. It's a lot harder to change Top 11, which is like, you know, we had like tens of millions of players playing monthly, and it's like you cannot change that easily. And so the thing is, so we said, okay, we checked if we can move to cloud, but it was like, at that time, I think it was still Amazon only that made any sense. I mean, Google, I think, existed, but it was like very early, I would say. And so we said, okay, this would cost us like a fortune again. And we said, okay, let's have our own cloud. So we investigated a little bit, we checked out Open Nebula. We checked a lot of them, but we saw Open Nebula. It looked great. It was simple. It was easy to configure. It was the only private cloud, which we could configure within like 2 or 3 days. Others were like, we couldn't do it in like 7 days or whatever, or like even longer. So yeah, we moved most of our workloads to Open Nebula. So that's how we, you know, started using VMs and like managed everything ourselves. It was a simple setup. We said like no shared storage, nothing. Like we're going to use local storage and things like that, which was great. That's the limitation. We knew about it. Our devs knew about it, and that's how we worked. And then at one point we started having like scaling problems on Open Nebula, because you know everyone started moving their workloads to Open Nebula, and then we needed to add new nodes, new hosts. And when you need to add new hosts, those are like custom hosts. We had a very good relationship with our old company, which we hosted everything. And like, but when you order those custom nodes, you have to wait. And sometimes we had some strange things happening. For example, a new MacBook Pro comes out, and Apple buys all the NAND SSDs, which we were using on those nodes. And then okay. you have to wait half a year to get those SSDs and things like that. It's like, things like that happened, and we said like, oh my god, like we're a gaming company. I don't want to think about like hardware at all. I don't want to think about if Apple's gonna order anything so that I can, you know, scale our workloads. So we said, okay, what's next? Like, let's see, like, what like others have, what cloud providers have. Like, this doesn't make any sense for us. And the other thing, and so we checked out Google, we checked out Amazon and AWS and Azure. And like we liked Google Cloud most. We talked with the Google Cloud guys. They were like, they looked similar to us, even though they are a big company. So that's why what we like a lot. Like they, from the first moment we talked with them, they were like, you know, very friendly and easy to get to them and things like that. And it probably helped that the guy that we talked to is from Sarajevo, so he talks Serbian as well. But like in AWS, it wasn't like that. And Azure was too much different from what we do. And we are not Microsoft oriented, so you know, Azure wasn't that. And that's how, like, okay, let's try Google. Let's see, like, what they can bring us. And then we checked a little bit how much that would cost us and things like that. And we decided, like, yeah, let's try Google. We started migrating last year at, I think, April, something like that. We started migration and finished that early this year. Like, I think in January, like, everything was migrated to Google, or like 99% was migrated. There were some leftovers, and now we're completely on Google.
Wasn't the same guy introducing us from Google introducing us to Revel G?
Yeah, probably.
Probably, yes.
Probably.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Could you please tell us, like, what GCP services are you mostly using, why you decided for that?
Cool. So I think I didn't actually tell you, like, why we moved to Google at the end. It was a few things. I think it's very important and not a lot of people consider it. We realized a few things, like OpenNebula will never have the features that Google has currently, and it will probably never have it, right? So that's one thing. The other thing is, like, we needed to downscale part of our infrastructure, the one which is not on OpenNebula, and we needed to upscale OpenNebula. So upscaling is a little bit easier, just you have to wait for hardware, right? But then downscaling is, again, not that easy. And downscaling current, all dedicated servers, was extremely hard because we were paying them relatively cheap, right? Because we were paying them we had some servers like running 5 years, you know, and we're renting the servers. So each year we can request a reduction in costs. So if you wanted to reduce the scale down, we would need to order new servers, which we wouldn't have that much discounts. And then we would discount in total would be not that big, and we would get like a lot less, you know, performance. When we go to cloud, like, you have the performance you need, and that's it. And it's much, you know, so, and anyway, like, even if we wanted to scale down, we would basically have to migrate everything. Like, you know, you would have to migrate from one machine to another, which we are doing on cloud anyway, and we would stay the same. Like, we wouldn't have any new features, anything. So that's why it made sense to move to Google. We knew that it's not, the cost won't come down, instantly. It came down actually probably like 6 months or like 9 months after the migration. But that's fine. Now it's like, you know, we're saving money. So that's like, it was the cost. It was like, it made sense. It made sense more to migrate, then optimize it like that, then like scale down everything and leave it the same. I know the question is like, what are you using Google Cloud? Since we're new, so we're still new to Google, to GCP, we're mostly using GCE, Compute Engine. Most of our workloads are on VMs. Besides that, we use a lot of cloud storage, mostly for analytics platform. We don't use like BigQuery currently, not yet. We are probably going to use it, but it's in the works, like in a few months. So it's mostly compute. We use a little bit of data store, cloud data store, and things like that. Mostly all of our workloads are currently on compute, mostly because we didn't optimize that much while we were migrating. We wanted to finish the migration within like a year, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And so do you have some like plans about, you know, using some other services there? You mentioned BigQuery. Is there anything else you want to start using?
Yeah, so probably like for analytics platform, we're probably gonna try BigQuery and probably end up using it, because I don't know anyone who's on GCP and doesn't use BigQuery at the end. In the end, we'll probably, you know, investigate the other things which are around the analytics platform. What we're currently working on is like modernizing our infrastructure. So we are, our workloads mostly support, you know, auto scaling and things like that, but we didn't set it up like that, you know. Oh yeah, I didn't tell you, but we use a lot of global load balancers and things like that. You use that like very much. I mean, you have to use that if you want to have any high availability on GCP. It's not like you have an option, but global load balancers are awesome. The idea is currently that we modernize our infrastructure to support auto healing, auto scaling, because our services mostly support that. So we're currently checking out that. But we're also checking out Kubernetes. We'll see. Like we're actually currently working on that. We're investigating how could we modernize infrastructure with just Google things and how we can do it with Kubernetes. And we'll see. It's an interesting technology, I would say.
Okay, thanks. By the way, you mentioned like a lot of reasons why you decided to move to GCP or to cloud in general, let's say. Are there also some like cons, you know, why you think that maybe the on-prem could be better?
Oh, yeah. there are. So, for example, performance on dedicated hosts is like insanely better than on any cloud provider. Like the amount of CPU you get from each core on, you know, on the CPU you get, it's like insane. Other thing is like disk performance. So GCP, AWS, they have like, you know, SSD disk and things like that, but those are network storages. So they cannot compare to, you know, I mean, they can, at some point they can, you know, if you increase the disk size enough and things like that, latency still, let's say, sucks compared to like local SSDs. But it's fine. Sure. I mean, you know, it's like that and it's fine. I mean, you know, you optimize your app for that. So like SSDs, local disk performance is on like on dedicated hosts is insanely better. So that's usually like performance is basically better than on cloud. What you do get on cloud, if you know how to optimize, how to scale, you know, horizontally, you're fine. So you don't care that much if you have less performance, you're fine. What is cool about cloud compared to regarding performance is that you can be a lot worse engineer on dedicated host than on cloud. And that's what we realize like when you move to cloud. So because, you know, on cloud, you set up a VM and you give it exact amount of performance that you want it to have, you know? And if you make a mistake in the code, you're gonna, you have to increase the VM size or whatever. And things like, and you have to understand better a little bit like how performance works. So on dedicated host, so for example, let me give you an example what we had. So we had our own network stack on Top 11. Like Top 11 is a very old game. It's like 10 years old. So mm-hmm. we had our own network stack in one of the servers, one of the main backend servers. And when we moved to GCP, when we moved one of the instances to GCP as a test so that we see if the rest of the big instances are going to work, we had very strange network issues, which we realized only worked. We didn't have them or we had them very little on dedicated servers is because dedicated servers have awesome network. Like networking on dedicated hosts is awesome. I mean, you don't lose anything. You don't, I mean, latency, everything's on cloud networks, they're like very slow and like anything could happen. And that's what we realized when we did that. So we fixed it up by using Netty and like we did it like we should have supposed to do it like 10 years ago, but yeah, we didn't. So yeah, network is very unstable on all cloud providers, not GCP. It's not unstable, it's compared to dedicated networks, so like hardware networks. So, but actually, but we're all okay with that. You realize that, you're fine with that, you make your application around it, and that's fine, because you get everything else is better. I mean, you know, everything else is much easier. You have a performance issue, just give it more power. That's fine, until you fix it. Then you fix it, then you return it back, and that's how it's supposed to work.
Perfect. Well, thank you.
Network and CPU, everything is worse on cloud.
Okay, noted. we'll send it to you guys.
I mean, I understand what I mean. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's worse than dedicated hosts. I mean, it's like that. I'm not going to lie to anyone about it. You should know. People usually know that when they try it out. I mean, it's nothing new. I'm not telling you anything.
Okay. By the way, like, what type of workloads are you running on GCP? Is it like, when you ask, like, if your games are more like, you know, server sides or if more parses are actually happening on client side?
They are extremely server side. They client is like, you know, it's very simple. You know, it's everything is done on the server side, and it's a lot of computation because all the, you know, when you're simulating games, everything is done on the backend side.
Could you please tell us like some more information about like number of your users and, you know, just give us some like perfect numbers of how many like concurrent players you have and what is actually like load for your infrastructure? Because I can imagine that it could be huge.
Yeah, I think I cannot tell you about, you know, exact numbers. I can tell you concurrent. I mean, concurrent is like, it's not that big. I think it's like from 100,000 to 200,000, something like concurrent players, which is okay, I would say. It's nothing huge, but it's not bad. It's a few million players like playing daily active players. Our workloads are usually predictive, you know. It's nothing when we launch a new event and more people are gonna come, and it's nothing that we cannot predict. It rarely happens that way.
Okay. So during the day it's more like stable?
It's usually stable. What we do have is like during the night when the day finishes, which is around 3 a.m. for us in like CET, we have something called daily update. So basically it's now a lot lighter and the game usually doesn't go, the game doesn't go down. But a few years ago, we actually were offline every day for 1 hour or something like that, every day. Because it prepares the whole game for the next day, you know. Now that's done online, but that's when the CPUs go, you know, jump like, you know, to 100% for like a few minutes or to an hour. And every 28 days we have a season update which lasts for like 2 hours, and it's like 100% CPU and things like that. It's like everything filled. Kafka topics are, you know, Kafka. We're pumping things to Kafka like crazy and reading from it and things like that. Every year we're like every month we're making that simpler and easier because we're extracting some services from like our main big old legacy service called GameWorld, and like it makes things a lot simpler and easier. I think, for example, daily update now lasts for like 15 minutes or something like that, and we're not offline. And it was like
there is no downtime during this update.
No downtime. During season, which is one in 28 days, we have I think probably like just a few minutes of downtime, maybe 20 minutes of downtime. And that's like once in 28 days, which is okay.
That's nice. Yeah, you said that you are using Cloud Load Balancer, of course.
Yeah.
Would you like to add something on this topic?
We're using a global Cloud Load Balancer. It's an HTTPS load balancer. We're using WebSockets. So our clients are using WebSockets. Nothing special. We have like behind load balancers, there's a special edge server. We call it Weaver. Don't ask us why. It's cool. I mean, we really like global load balancers because users like from the edge, they go into the Google network, and it's like, I guess the connection should be a lot stabler than, you know, more stable than like if they go directly. The thing is like top 11 isn't that latency intensive, so it's not that big of an issue. I mean, it reduces a little bit of latency, but it's not a big issue for us. We like them. We use global load balancers for everything which is like front facing for users, and
Okay, perfect. Thanks. By the way, what kind of databases are you using? Are you using some like NoSQL databases or?
Our main database is Postgres. It's our main database. We use it from the beginning. It's like awesome. I always say that Postgres is probably the best open source project I ever saw. I mean, Postgres is probably one of the best projects in the world, and it's probably like the best Postgres open source project ever. I would say that it's even better than the Linux kernel, but okay, I'm not taking on the kernel.
And are you using the managed one, or are you hosting it on a
computer? So we are hosting it ourselves. We were thinking about cloud SQL, but as I talked to the Google engineers, like we get from our side, we get less for more money. Basically, two times more expensive than the VMs, hosting it on VMs. And we've been hosting Postgres for a very long time. We know like ins and outs of it. And the thing with Cloud SQL is that you cannot set it up like exactly. We have very specific configurations for a lot of our services, and you cannot set up everything up with Cloud SQL. That's one thing. The other thing is like, Google can turn it off whenever they want. I mean, do some maintenance, and it can go, if it goes offline in some specific period for us, it would be very bad. I know that you can set things up and they should do maintenance, but it doesn't have to be always like that. It doesn't have to happen all the time. The other thing with Cloud SQL is that it's very hard to debug. You don't have direct access to the VM, you know, and you cannot see. And for Postgres, it's very important to have access to CPU, to concrete CPU, to have access to how the memory usage is, page cache, and things like that. We found out a lot of different workloads, fixed them up by looking at those stats, and like how the disk is used and things like that. On Cloud SQL, you have to do that from the monitoring dashboard, and that's usually not enough. from what we research. We actually have one Cloud Desk, but it's not important. It's like a small one for analytics platform. I would actually love to use Cloud SQL so that, you know, we don't have to think about Postgres, but I also don't know, I didn't check yet, does Cloud SQL support point-in-time recovery? So that can you, like, you know, ship val files somewhere and like do point-in-time recovery? We use that a lot now, which is like one of the biggest changes in our Postgres when we changed to Google Cloud, because we started using Val-G and archiving all the val files of Postgres and or to Google Cloud Storage, and allows us to return our database into like to a second, to any second we want in the past 3 days, which is in a few minutes basically. So which is awesome. I don't know if Cloud SQL supports it. I don't know if you can modify the archive command or whatever. But I'm probably giving too much specifics.
If you didn't, okay. I'm also not sure, but I will check it for you later.
So, and how many people you're having like working on now on server side, like developers or the DevOps team? Like, how many people you have there on Nordeos?
We're a little bit. I mean, we're not trained, but we're doing the DevOps thing, even though we never called it DevOps. So we have one infrastructure team, which is basically 3 people, including me. It's 4. Basically, build the tools and empower our teams, backend teams, game teams, to be able to do everything themselves. And we manage the databases. So we manage the databases on the like high availability backups and things like that. On the other side, we have a bunch of probably like 20 something
backend developers,
and they do the rest. They deploy their service. They code them, they deploy them, they do migrations of the DB, they, you know, optimize queries, they whatever. Like, they do everything. We have no idea when Top 11 is releasing or any other game or any other team, because we have some service teams which also, you know, have backend. We have no idea. Infrastructure team has no idea when they do releases. We don't care. That's, they have all the tools. They know everything how to do themselves.
Okay. And what are the worst works or jobs that you have to do regularly when you maintain your cloud servers, like restarts, memory increase, and etc.?
Currently we're kind of okay. I mean, it's like we don't have those jobs that much. But I guess the worst one is increasing the size of, for example, Kafka clusters, or reducing the size. You have to, it's like everything set up is Terraform, but it's not that easy to, you know, do it one by one. Then you have to restart, and it's like it's awful. Things like that, like when you have to scale up or scale down our instances, which is gonna be probably, I don't know about Kafka, but on the app side, it will probably be, you know, solved by auto scaling in the near future. Auto scale. But those are probably like the worst and like most, I don't know, boring parts.
Okay, and, cool. Like, thanks.
You know, managing database, it's a very hard job, and like anything like that, like changing a config, that's fine. It's
cool. And on top of that, do you have had any disasters or like I don't know, like some dot attacks or server side attacks or something like that that you have, you know? Really, you have it in your mind still?
I have a few. I think the biggest ones from like when we switched to Google, they're not that big. A lot of years ago, probably like 8 years ago or 9 years ago, when I joined, like I was here there a few months. I got a page at 3 a.m. that like, I don't know, out of 32 game servers, like 31 is offline. And that's like, you know, you understand, like the whole game is offline. And then like they're offline, they don't work. And then I called the company which we were renting from. That's not the company which we later moved on to. This company was shit. I'm not gonna mention it. Maybe I should, but I'm not. So what happened, like I was calling them and they didn't reply for 2 hours. So 2 hours, nothing. And later on, what happened, we found out. So they had a meltdown of in the data center, they had a meltdown of the cooling system, and like everything overheated. So like all the servers just shut down to, you know, so that they don't, you know, they survive. So that's what happened. And like after that, I think me and my colleague, we were like, I think it took us until from like 5 a.m. to 12, you know, to noon. It took us to get everything up, because, you know, some of the hard drives stopped working and things like that. So we needed to do whatever. it was awful. And after that, we just migrated everything from that company to a new one and like never went back there. That's the biggest one. That's the one which is, the other one was when we DDoS ourselves. So what happened is like at one moment, our workloads just, you know, we have a server which is called Overseer. It does the login, you know, it basically does the login and routes you to a specific server. It's like login and load balance, whatever, it doesn't matter. But let's say it does the login. At one point, that Overseer, it has a few workers, like the database of that server just started like screaming, like 100% CPU, IO weight jumping like crazy. It's like, we don't know what's going on. And app service also dying, like it's impossible. Like, and we didn't do anything, basically. No release to the server side, no release to the client side, nothing. It's like nothing, we didn't change anything. So what we actually did is like, you say, okay, if this continues like this, so we don't know what it is, and we cannot debug it that much because like nothing is working. So we say, okay, we did some limiting on how many people can join, you know, connect to the Overseer server so that at least somebody can go into, you know, go and play the game. So we found out it's like about like 100 people per second or something like that. And we say, okay, or maybe less, I don't remember currently. So, and others were like, drop other connections. Basically, we set it on IP tables in Firewall. And then we started investigating, checking out what it is. We weren't sure. In the meantime, we called the company which we're renting the servers from, and we told them, look, give us the biggest, juiciest, fattest servers you ever had, you currently have, like, which you can, and how fast can you, you know, provision them for us? And they said, we have these like four or whatever, and you know, we can do it in two hours or 4 hours, I don't know. So they did it. And then like while we were debugging what's going on, what's investigating, we were also preparing new servers to migrate this, you know, to the new server so that, you know, we have more time to fix it. We don't know what it is. And anyway, so I think I didn't go to sleep that day. I didn't go to home that day. It's like a few of us stayed. We were like, that's the whole day. That started to happen like at 1 p.m. or something like that. And about, I think at 11 p.m. we started migrating to the new service, and they managed to, you know, hold it up. It was like, it's like the best service that they like had, like, I think 64 CPUs or 96 CPUs. It was insane. That was like 6 years ago or something like that. And we managed to do it, but we didn't know still what was the issue and things like that. I went to sleep, or I slept a little in the office, and then in the morning we started investigating again. And what we did in the end is that we went to Postgres, enabled logs to log everything, all the queries and how long they last. So what was interesting, we enabled that, and when we enabled that, it was, I think, in like 10 seconds, it filled like 100 gigabytes of logs. That's how many queries there were. It was insane. Insane amount. So we disabled the logs, check out the logs, and we saw that we had like for each user logging, the Overseer always checks their friends, like who are his friends. And for each friend, it queries one time. Like each friend is one query into the DB. Mm-hmm. So usually people don't have that many friends. It's like one, two, or none, you know. Mm-hmm. But this time, for each user, there were like 5,000, 10,000, like 10,000 queries for each login. And we were like, what the hell is going on here? And we checked, like, what is that? And then we realized what was the problem. So our game, our client, when it logs in, instead of sending the friends which are playing Top 11, it was sending, when I say friends, I mean Facebook friends. So, you know, you can log in to Facebook or mm-hmm. over Facebook to our Top 11. So instead of sending Top 11 friends, it was sending all Facebook friends. And it resulted in, like, you know, 1,000 more queries at a second than the usual. So why that happened is that because Facebook changed something in their SDK, and they said that they're going to deprecate something. We didn't see that. We didn't make the switch in the client on time. And they just, you know, at this moment, this is not going to work like that. We needed to pass additional parameter. It was a stupid fix. Was like a few, it's one line of code. That's the fix. So when we realized that, it was an easy fix, and we fixed it instantly. But you know, it's like, I think that lasted for like, I think that we found out that like three,
2 days after it happened. So it wasn't that easy. We were still new, you know, we didn't know Postgres that much. I think it was like 7 years ago, something like that. It's really fun. But it was awesome. Like, we did UST ourselves, basically. So, well, yeah, that's good. The biggest on Google Cloud was that we managed to turn off all the Kafka instances at the same time. And this is our main Kafka for analytics, and all the events go through it, and like almost nothing versus that. And it like took us probably like half a day to bring it back online, because I actually don't remember now what was the issue.
Okay. Thank you for sharing these stories with us. Well, we have just like few last questions we wanted to ask you. And it's like, you know, not really actually connected to the technology and to the gaming. It's more about like you. Could you please tell us some like media you are following? I don't know, you know, some blogs or web pages or newspapers, magazines. It doesn't have to be connected with gaming or technology, just like whatever.
So me, I'm usually on Twitter. So I have a few people. I mean, I have people who I follow on Twitter, which are mostly like mostly on like tech, like what I'm interested in, and some things like some gaming and whatever. I'm interested in music. That's like my main source of information, and it's basically Reddit as well. Like I joined a few communities. I don't actually have any tech blogs, which I'm constantly following. I had a few before, but this is currently proving to be a lot better, because like the people I'm following are sharing, sharing the right things, which I'm interested in. That's mostly. I followed a lot Charity Majors. She's writing awesome. She's like one of the creators of what's it called Honeycomb. It's an observability tool, like you probably heard of it. So she has awesome blogs about engineering in general, about observability monitoring. So it's like awesome. I suggest that you read her. She's a little crazy, but in a good way, probably.
I mentioned Stratecary. It's a blog and podcast led by Ben Thompson. He's also, I'm following him on Twitter as well. So it's basically about business and technology. So it's future of technology, let's say. I would recommend for anyone. Actually, I'm subscribed to it. It's like $10 monthly. So you get all the daily updates from him.
Sounds cool. We will definitely follow those guys and this chick as well that you mentioned.
Her blogs are insane. Her articles are insane. Yeah.
By the way, you mentioned also Reddit. Do you have some like specific subreddits you are following and would like to mention?
It's basically technologies like Postgres, Google Cloud, Ansible and things like that. I was very involved in Ansible. Probably not that much now, but I was extremely involved in Ansible, like in even the development. And I'm a huge contributor. I'm a big contributor. I mean, I'm not a big contributor, but I'm a contributor, even to the core. I was very following that. Not that much currently. Oh, I forgot Monitorama. That's like a conference. I watch it every year. Like I wanted to go one a few years ago, but I don't know why I didn't. But Monitorama is like an awesome conference for like anything related to monitoring, observability.
Okay. Well, if you mentioned like conference, you have some like other physical events you are actually attending. You know, if the like world is normal.
CES is canceled.
Yeah, of course. I went to DockerCon 1 year. It was cool, but it was like, just to see what's going on. That's one. The one which I think I went 2 times was PostgresConf, usually Europe. It's awesome. If you're into Postgres, awesome. PostgresConf is insanely good for developers and for, system admins, system infrastructure, DBA, whatever. It's like a conference everybody has to go. I went to FOSDEM as well. FOSDEM is great in Belgium for like a free and open source. You have everything there.
I don't know, like those are the conferences I would recommend everyone to. Of course, I went to Ansible Fest, I think 2 times.
Okay. So
Ansible Fest was, yeah, it was cool. I don't know. Let me not say.
I have like the last one, and I have
no, so the last one was best, but usually for me it was best because I talked to the devs, which I, you know, and like, okay. I think I'm a too power user, let's say, for Ansible to be interesting for me. But if you're starting new, it will be cool. I've been with Ansible for a very long time, and it's like, you know, I usually don't hear anything new, and I want to hear something new on conferences. But it's really cool to talk with people who, you know what they're doing, and you can, you know, exchange experiences and everything. I also wanted to go to Next, but they canceled it, and like, yeah,
and everything is basically canceled.
Yeah, so yeah, I was supposed to go to Next this year to the US, but yeah, it got canceled.
And if you ask me, it was all about Cisco Live and VMworld and that kind of vendor stuff. And now it's more about future of work or future of workplace. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Amsterdam to some future. It's called basically smart workplace design in October, or it can be IDC future of work. So that's what I'm interested currently interested in. So okay. Less development oriented.
And I have like last one, I have to ask for it, like, what is your favorite game, not mobile, or it could be mobile, but like in general, and do you have some game you're looking forward to?
Well, as I said, it's definitely now seven years after, it's definitely Top 11, my favorite mobile game ever. And for non-mobile, the first place is definitely Max Payne. Maybe you've heard of that and played it.
Maybe.
It's like
first one?
All okay. Three. I don't know. I'm expecting the fourth, if you ask what I'm expecting. And for mobile, I'm playing now some random game called Random Dice. It's like PvP tower defense, and it's great. So I'd recommend that.
Cool. So yeah, my favorite game is like, it's not Top 11. It's like it's Command & Conquer Generals. It's Command & Conquer Generals by far. The and Zero Hour, which is the expansion pack. That's the game which I play. I don't know. Too much probably. I actually don't have a game which I expect to go out, which I'll be interested. Maybe Cyberpunk, the new one, which is kind of I'll probably try that. The other so on mobile. My favorite game on mobile, which I play the most, is Unblock Me. It's like a stupid game. You have like blocks which you can move just vertically like this, you know, vertically and horizontally, and that's it. And you have to get one block out. It's like a red one. It has to go. Yeah, I think I played that game the most, but I didn't play it for a long time. Now it's probably Archero. I play Archero the most now. It's an awesome game.
You know, it was lovely to have you here, and it was great to, you know, hear all the stories. It was also a lot of fun, but also a lot of like interesting insights. So, well, thank you very much for that. Thank you, guys.
Anytime. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Anytime.
That's all for now. So, we also like to say hi to all the listeners and all the other cloud enthusiasts who are listening to our podcast, and make sure to follow us and our Facebook and Twitter. And we will catch up with you guys really soon, man.